Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 14, The Necessity of Anointing. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. One bright benediction which private prayer brings upon the ministry is an indescribable and unparalleled something, an anointing from the Holy One. If the anointing that we have does not come from the Lord of hosts, we are deceivers. Let us continue instant, constant, and fervent in supplication. Let your fleece lie on the thrashing floor of supplication until it is wet with the dew of heaven. Spurgeon. Alexander Knox, a Christian philosopher in the days of Wesley, not an adherent, but a strong personal friend of Wesley's, had much spiritual sympathy with the Wesleyan movement. He writes, "It is strange and lamentable, but I believe that except among Methodists and Methodistical clergymen, there is not much interesting preaching in England. The clergy have absolutely lost the art. In the great laws of the moral world, there is a kind of secret understanding, like the affinities in chemistry between rightly circulated religious truth and the deepest feelings of the human mind. Where the one is duly exhibited, the other will respond. Did not our hearts burn within us? But this devout feeling is indispensable in the speaker." Now, I am obliged to state from my own observation that this anointing is beyond all comparison, more likely to be found in England in a Methodist meeting house than in a parish church. This, and this alone, seems to be what fills the Methodist houses and thins the churches. I believe I am no enthusiast. I am a most sincere and cordial churchman, a humble disciple of the school of Hale and Boyle, of Burnett and Leighton. Now, I must aver that when I was in this country 2 years ago, I did not hear a single preacher who taught me like my own great masters, but such as are deemed Methodist. And I now despair of getting an ounce of heart instruction from any other quarter. The Methodist preachers, though I may not always approve of all their expressions, do most assuredly dispense this true, undefiled religion. I felt real pleasure last Sunday. I can bear witness that the preacher did speak the words of truth and soberness. There was no eloquence. The honest man never dreamed of such a thing, but there was far better, a cordial communication of vitalized truth. I say vitalized because what he declared to others was impossible not to feel he lived himself. This anointing is the art of preaching. The preacher who never had this never had the art of preaching. The preacher who has lost it has lost the art of preaching. Whatever other arts he may have and retain, the art of making a sermon, the art of eloquence, the art of great, clear thinking, and the art of pleasing an audience, if he has lost the anointing, he has lost the divine art of preaching, because it makes God's truth powerful and interesting. It draws and attracts, edifies, convicts, and saves. This spirituality vitalizes God's revealed truth and makes it living and life-giving. God's truth spoken without this divineness is light, dead, and deadening. Though abounding in truth, weighty with thought, sparkling with rhetoric, pointed by logic, and powerful by earnestness, without this sacredness, it hastens in death and not in life. Mr. Spurgeon says, "I wonder how long we might beat our brains before we could plainly put into words what is meant by preaching with anointing. Yet he who preaches knows its presence, and he who hears soon detects its absence. In famine, Samaria typifies a discourse without it. With her feast of fat things full of marrow, Jerusalem may represent a sermon enriched with it. Everyone knows what the freshness of the morning is when diamonds abound on every blade of grass. But who can describe it, much less produce it of itself? Such is the mystery of spiritual anointing. We know, but we cannot tell others what it is. It is as easy to counterfeit as it is foolish. Anointing is something that you cannot manufacture, and its counterfeits are less than worthless. Yet it is in itself priceless and beyond measure, but needful if you want to edify believers and bring sinners to Christ. Scripture: But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, abide ye in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27.